All right, good evening. I have to give myself a little bit more room. I moved just a little bit. I got a table behind me now. I feel boxed in like an old Presbyterian or something. If you got your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 5. We're back to our study, second sermon. Second question that we're going to ask tonight on hard questions on healing and sickness. And again, I said last week this is a good time for us to talk about it as we're in the, I wouldn't say the middle. I hope we're kind of at the end of a pandemic, that we're not smack dab in the middle of hearing all about sickness and disease and viruses and all those different things. So I think this is a good time for us to talk about sickness and healing. Also, there's a lot of confusion on this topic. A lot of people have no idea how to handle this. There's so much twisting of scripture involved with sickness and healing that I felt that it's necessary for us to talk about it so we don't have lies being told to us, but we get the truth. That's what we want. We want the truth on sickness and on healing. What does the Bible say about it? We want clarity on that issue. So tonight we're going to answer, I think, maybe one of the hardest. It's not the hardest. I think the hardest question we'll ask in this series is, what happens when we don't get our prayers answered for healing? What do we do? So I think this may be the second hardest question, and it is, does God still heal today? So we're going to look to the Bible tonight and ask that question, does God still heal today? I changed the title. It was, does God heal? And I think everybody, except for atheists, would say that God heals. We know that. But the question is, does God still heal today? That's the question we need to answer tonight. And that's where we're going to turn to Scripture. And I'm just going to use this passage tonight as a jumping off point, John chapter 5. Because it's one of my favorite healing stories in the entire Bible. I love this. I've got notes from when I preached through John on this. Somebody's going to have to cut me off if I try to preach this passage tonight. But I'm just going to use it as a starting point, John chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9, and then we'll pray and get started. But it says in verse 1, "And after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. What they thought was there's an angel would come down and kind of stir the water. And when that happened, when it started stirring, first one in got healed, you know. I mean, there was all kinds of people trying to jump in and get healing. Watch this. And the angel went down a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease they had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered and said, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me down into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steps down in front of me. He says, I can't get there in time. And Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. On the same day was a Sabbath. What a story of healing. We know God heals. We see it right there. Jesus, God in flesh, healed an impotent man who had been lame for 38 years. So the question we want to answer tonight is, does God still heal today? So let's pray together and we'll look at this passage and others. Father, we thank you for your word that we can open up tonight and answer a hard question. We don't have to go to the opinion of man. All we have to do is open up your word and say, what does your word say about this question? So God, help me to be clear on this. That's all I want to do, is I want to bring clarity to an issue that is very confusing to many. I want to bring truth to an issue that has a whole lot of lying about it. I want to make clear what has been twisted. So help me, God, to answer this question tonight. And I need your help. We need your help in understanding it so that we can better understand healing and sickness. So God, help us tonight. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When you ask the question, does God still heal today? There are two common answers that you get. And I think they're on two opposite ends of the spectrum. One group would say, and this would be your Pentecostal charismatic movement, they would say that it's always God's will to heal. That God wants us to be healthy and happy all the time. So He always wants to heal us. They say Jesus died for our sicknesses, and it's a lack of faith if you don't get your healing. That's on one side. That God always wants us healthy and happy, and He's always going to heal us if our faith is great enough. That's what they say. They'll say that if you start believing hard enough, if you speak really loud enough that I am healed, that God will heal you. That's one way to answer that question. That's a way to answer that question, that God always wants to heal us. And if I can just work up enough faith and say, I'm healed, that God will heal me of any sickness. That's on one side of the spectrum. And then you have the other side. I'm going to go ahead and say, I don't believe that. The Bible don't teach that. And then on the other side of the spectrum, it'd be the total opposite side. This would be where the atheists stand. They would say that God never heals, that there is no God. He doesn't heal. Even some Christians in circles that I know would say God doesn't heal anymore. He healed in the Bible, but he doesn't do that sort of thing anymore. That God doesn't do the supernatural anymore. That God doesn't work miracles anymore. That God is no longer in the healing business. That is over and done and it is past. So you have these two sides. One side saying that God always heals, and the other side saying God never heals. That's two sides who are so far separated. So what I want to do tonight is tell you that that's wrong and that's wrong. That's what they say and that's what they say. We want to know what the Bible says. We want to turn to the Bible because I think both are dead wrong. We need to turn to the Bible and we need to get an answer because I think the number three option is the better option. The Bible answer. That's what we're going to go to tonight. We're going to ask these questions. We don't care what people say. We only care what the Bible says. We don't care what denominations say. We care what the Bible says. So we're going to open up the Bible and ask that question, does God still heal today? And I'll tell you this right off. It's not going to be, yes, God always heals. And it's not going to be, no, God never heals. We're going to have a Bible answer right in the middle. So let's look at this. I'm going to give you 2 points, several sub-points, but I want to show you right off, first of all, point number one, God does heal today. Okay, and I'm going to say that at the outset because it's very important for me to say that so that nobody will get me wrong, nobody will twist what I say, nobody will say, Josh doesn't believe in the supernatural anymore. I want to say it, it's on camera, you're all hearing me. I believe that God still heals today. Okay, I believe God works miracles. I believe He's a supernatural God who does the supernatural. He's still in the healing business. God does heal. And I'm going to prove it with Scripture. I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 15. And you're going to have to go with me to several places tonight. I know that we usually don't do that. It's really out of my comfort zone to leave really one or two verses. So I want you to go over to Exodus 15. You guys know where we're at in Exodus 15. I don't need to give you a whole lot of context or backstory, but verse 1 in Exodus 15 starts with Moses and the people being delivered from the hands of Pharaoh in Egypt. And in verse 1 it says, and they're singing. Then sang Moses. And they sang and they sang and they sang. And if you look at verse 22, it doesn't take long before the singing becomes complaining that they don't have water. It says in verse 22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went out 3 days in the wilderness, and they didn't find any water. So they sing when God delivers them, and as soon as something bad happens, they start complaining. That sounds like a lot of us, don't it? That we will sing and praise God on Sunday when something good happens, but when something bad happens, we're complaining again. Verse 23, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what are we going to drink? We're all going to die of thirst. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought up upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that heals thee. You see right there at the very beginning, a name of God, Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who heals. He gives himself a name there. And a name describes a characteristic of God or the nature of God, that in his nature, and God is a God who doesn't change. So if he is the God who heals in Exodus chapter 15, then he is the God who heals in 2021. That's his character. That's who he is. He's a God who heals. The word heals there means he's a God who cures. He's a God who fixes. He's a God who restores. He's the God. And when I was thinking about this, because the word in Hebrew actually means to put back together. That when something is broken in us, whether it's a sickness, a disease, or a broken bone, that we have a God who can put us back together again. And my mind went to the Humpty Dumpty who fell off a wall. And Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and nobody could put Humpty Dumpty back together again. We have a God who, when nobody else can fix what's wrong with us, we have a God who can put us back together again. He's a God who heals. That's describing who He is. That's what He's like. It's His very nature to heal. That's who God is. He's a God who healeth thee. And that's the God in Exodus chapter 15. That's the Jehovah Rapha. That is Yahweh in Exodus 15. And let me ask you to turn with me back to the New Testament. Luke chapter 4. Look at that. I turned right to it. I mean, that couldn't have been any better. Luke chapter 4. We turn to the New Testament. And Jesus shows up on the scene, and when He arrives, you know we're in Luke chapter 4. You know what happens in Luke 1, 2, and 3. That's the birth narrative. That's the baptism. That's the temptation. That's all before He starts His ministry. And when He starts His ministry, He goes into Nazareth in verse 14, and watch what happens. And Jesus returned the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out the fame of Him throughout all the region round about. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. As His custom was, He went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and He stood up to read. And there was delivered to Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to fix the broken hearts, to heal, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And He closed the book, and He gave it unto the minister, and sat down. And all the eyes of them were in the synagogue, were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, "This day that scripture is fulfilled in your very ears." Jesus comes on the scene, and He stands up, and He declares, "I am the God that healeth thee." The same God who heals in the Old Testament, Yahweh, Jehovah Rapha, is the God who heals in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in the New Testament. Jesus shows up, and He is the Yahweh who heals. That's what He says there in that passage. He's proving His deity, that He showed up, and one of the ways that Jesus showed that He is God, He could have done it any way He wanted. He could have been like Superman and leapt tall buildings and went faster than a speeding bullet. But one of the ways He showed that He is the God-man was by going around healing people. He was the God who heals. Again, this shows our God is a God that heals. He is our healer. And He doesn't just say that He heals, He does it. And I can give you all kinds of examples of this. In the Old Testament, God healed people all the time. He opened the wombs of numerous barren women. You can Google that. Google miracles in the Old Testament, and it's barren woman after barren woman after barren woman that God opens the womb and allows them to have a child. That is God healing a woman's womb. God raises a serpent in the wilderness and heals all the snake bites of those who would look up to the serpent. God is a healing God. He heals leprosy. He heals shriveled hands. He heals the plague. He heals Nebuchadnezzar's insanity. Over and over and over, God even raises the dead in the Old Testament. He's a God who heals. And you turn to the New Testament where we are and you see it. I wanted to turn to another passage, Matthew 4. I had fun studying this week. Matthew 4, the God of the Old Testament is Jesus doing the same things in the New Testament. And He's just proving it. Matthew 4, verse 23 says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went throughout all of Syria. And they brought unto Him all the sick people that were taken with all kinds of diseases and torments and those which were possessed with devils and those that were lunatics." God took crazy people and made them sane. He fixed mental issues. This is an amazing thing. This is who our God is. He's a God who fixes things. I pride myself in my house of being the guy who fixes things or knows how to get things fixed. I mean, my kids will bring me things, and they know it. And they bring it to me, "Dad will fix it." And if I can't fix it, my dad will fix it. God is a God who fixes things. Whatever you've got, He fixes. Do you understand that? We just named all these things. Let me go through it again. In verse 23, He said, healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among all the people. In verse 24, it says, they brought Him to sick people that were taken with all kinds of diseases and torments and were possessed with devils and were lunatics and had the palsy, and He healed them all. And there followed him a great multitude of people from all over the place, Galilee and the 10 cities, the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, Judea, and even beyond the Jordan. He was performing miracles. There was an explosion of miracles at that time, unlike the world has ever or will ever see, at the hand of Jesus, the God who heals thee. I like that. Jesus cured incurable diseases, impossible diseases. He cast out demons. He healed Peter's mother-in-law's fever. I read that story. He healed lepers and paralytics and withered hands and the blind and the deaf and the mute and a blood disorder, and he raised the dead. It was 3 years of nonstop healing in that area. Jesus was healing everywhere he went. And he wasn't doing it to make people healthy and happy. He was doing it so all signs would point to him as Yahweh, the Son of God. You turn to Acts chapter 3. I know you guys probably get tired of this, but it's fun. Acts chapter 3. Just proving my point that God is a God who heals. You say, well, that was Jesus. That was Old Testament. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 and 10. I don't know if I want to read the whole thing, so we'll just read the whole thing. It says, "And now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. And Peter looked his eyes upon him and said, and with John and said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' That's the power not of them, but of Jesus Christ. And he took him up with the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and he leaped up standing. And walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew exactly who that was. And God healed him through the apostles. Why? Not for health and happiness, but so that everybody would know that when the apostles stood up to speak, they were speaking for God. It was all a sign to say, hey, this guy, Peter, John, Paul, is a mouthpiece for God Almighty, Jesus Christ of Nazareth." It's very important. So the question again is, does this stuff happen today? There's no doubt that God heals today. There's no doubt about it that God today has all power to heal. He can heal any disease for anyone or even everyone if God wants to do that. He's still the great physician. He's still the God who heals. And he still has power over all the diseases and all the disabilities and all the demons and even death if he wants to do it. That's who God is. But does he do it today? I have no doubt whatsoever that God can heal today and that God does heal today. So our answer is God does not change. God is still a healing God. God does heal. So that's point number one. I took a long way around to get to point number one. Now let me give you point number two. God doesn't heal. So I see right there you think, oh, Josh, he sounds like a Pentecostal. He sounds like some charismatic. And he's saying, God always heals and God's going to heal. But then I turn to say, no, there's sometimes that God doesn't heal. Now let me show you this. God doesn't heal. First of all, I want to show you three ways that God doesn't heal. And I got this from a book that I'm reading by Costi Hinn. Costi Hinn was a nephew of, anybody ever heard of Benny Hinn? Benny Hinn's a famous TV preacher who loves to take off his coat and knock people over. I mean, I've seen him knock them over like dominoes and say, "You're healed," and they all fall over. Costi Hinn worked for him and went around with him. And then Costi Hinn got saved and come out of that movement, and now he writes books about how it's wrong. And he gave three ways that God doesn't heal in his book, and I couldn't have done it any better than him. So let me give them to you. Number one, God doesn't heal always. There's many out there who will say God heals everyone all the time, and God wants us to be as healthy and as happy as we can possibly be. But the truth is, God doesn't heal everyone all the time. There's no guarantee of healing, not in this life. And I can show you that there's no guarantee. And that these guys that are TV preachers, these guys that will tell you any different, these guys that are of the charismatic movement, they'll come and tell you that God always wants to heal you. And that is not Bible at all. It's all over the Bible. You can turn back to John 5 if you want to. We were just there. That's where we started. We've come full circle. We're back where we began. And Jesus goes into that area there, and there's hundreds of people. There's a huge group of sick people gathered around this pool waiting to be healed, and hundreds of them that are sick, and Jesus walks in with hundreds around this pool. I mean, there's all kinds of sick people. There's lame people everywhere. And you tell me, I want you to tell me, we've already read the story, how many people out of the hundreds that were there, how many did Jesus heal? One. Not all, not everyone. There was only one there that he said, rise up and walk. So he healed one. Mark, there's a story in Mark, I don't want you to turn there, that Jesus spent a whole day in one area healing everybody that came to him. And then they all went to sleep, and everybody got up the next day, come back for more healing, and they couldn't find Jesus. He's off praying somewhere. He healed a whole day full of people and then wasn't there for the next day. He's not healing everybody all the time. Philippians 2, you don't have to turn there. Paul had a friend. His name was Epaphroditus. Great name. Paul mentioned that he was sick, and Paul didn't heal him, and God didn't either. God didn't use Paul to heal him. God doesn't heal everyone all the time. 2 Timothy 4, Paul's friend Trophimus, same thing, sick, didn't get healed. Paul had another friend, Timothy. In 1 Timothy 5:23, who had some kind of stomach ailment. I don't know what it was. It might have been ulcers because he's having such a hard time pastoring that church. And Paul didn't say, go to church, get knocked over by a coat, or I'll lay hands on you and you'll get healed. God wants us to be healthy and happy all the time. No, Paul said, take you a little wine for your stomach and it'll feel better. God doesn't want to, he's not going to heal everybody all the time. The lesson is, and I just gave you a bunch, John 5, Mark, Philippians 2, 2 Timothy 4:20, 1 Timothy 5:23. Paul himself, we talked about last week, who had a thorn in the flesh, went to God three times and beseeched them to take away that thorn in the flesh, and God said, no, not going to happen. God doesn't always heal. It's not always His will to heal. How about this one? It's not always God's will to heal. God heals as He wills. Say that one a few times fast. God heals as He wills. When He wants, as He wishes, and we never demand God to do anything. It's under the sovereignty and the wisdom of Almighty God who He heals, how He heals, and when He heals. He doesn't always heal. It's up to Him. It's governed by Him. And anyone who tells you otherwise is a liar, and you need to run as far away from him as you can. If you hear anybody say that it's always God's will to heal and He wants us healthy and happy all the time, then you need to turn that person off of your Facebook feed. You need to throw that book in the garbage. You need to leave that church. That is a lie, and it's not in the Bible. It's not always God's will to heal. Number two, God doesn't heal because of our faith. They'll say, and I've mentioned this already once, they'll say that if we believe hard enough, if we just have enough faith, that God will heal us. And you hear that all the time. And the term that these people are called, the title they're called, is faith healers. And they'll set up tents and they'll come to towns. And there was a guy that did that in Big Stone a while back. And he went to a church here locally and he showed up. And everybody would get in line. And if you have enough faith, you'll be healed. I mean, that's just an easy way to get out of it. Somebody comes forward, they don't get healed. The guy doesn't say, well, that ain't me. It ain't God. You ain't got enough faith. If you had enough faith, you'd be healed. And they walk out, and how do you think they feel? They'll go out and say, I just don't have enough faith. If I could just work up enough faith. You just increase your faith. You just believe hard enough. I've heard them say, if you just believe, speak to your wallet and money will come. I tried it once. It didn't work. I guess I didn't have enough faith. That's what they would say. They're liars. You don't have to work up enough faith. God doesn't demand faith to heal. And I'll show you the Bible. That's not my opinion. It's all over the Bible. You can start with I don't even know what passage this is. Let's turn there and look at it. Luke 4:40. I wrote it down, and it has to be good. Yeah, I mean, look at this. Luke 4:40 says, "Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and he healed them. And devils also came out of them, crying out, saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." You get that? Some of the people that he laid hands on had demons within them, and he cast them out. It was not their faith that got them healed. You think they had some kind of faith working in them? They had a devil in them, and Jesus cast it out. It wasn't by their faith that they were healed. It was by the grace of Almighty God that they were healed. Amen. Not everybody there had faith. When he raises the dead... Do you think Lazarus is sitting in the tomb? Got to have enough faith and he'll raise me. Got to have enough faith. He's dead. There's no faith there. He has to bring life into him before he can have any faith whatsoever. And God heals him. It's a gracious act of God. Not because of something they do or something that's within them. How about the guy who Peter cut his ear off? Jesus grabbed the ear, put it back on. Was it because the soldier had faith? It was because God is a gracious God. And I can go on and on. I don't want to spend all night on this, but there's more examples. This is amazing to me. There's more examples of Jesus healing unbelievers than there is Him healing believers. Can I say that again? Because there's so many lies out there on this. There's more examples in the Bible of Jesus healing unbelievers than Him healing believers. And you say, why is that? Because he's not trying to make believers happy and healthy. He's trying to make unbelievers saved. Yeah. We got it twisted. He's not trying to make us happy and healthy. He's trying to make unbelievers saved. So the lesson here is we cannot believe our way to healing. That should be good news for us. It doesn't take enough faith. I hear that all the time. He just has the faith of a mustard seed. It's a small amount of faith. These guys are telling you, you got to work it up. You got to get mountain-sized faith. The greatest faith, and we'll talk about this later on, is when you ask God to heal you and He doesn't. It takes more faith to trust God when He doesn't heal you than it would for Him to heal you. Yeah. These guys got it twisted. We cannot believe our way to healing. There are many believers, and you guys know this and I know this, that love God and have the greatest faith you can ever imagine, and they spend their entire life sick. I know many. I read story after story. I can't think of her name. The lady, she goes around talking. She's paraplegic. She dived into a pool when she was young, broke her neck, and she's been paraplegic her entire life. She tells a great story about how she tried to figure out why and tried to ask God to heal her and all these different things. And she had to learn to trust God in the middle of her healing, in the middle of her disease and her sickness. Because she went from a paraplegic into having cancer. Terrible pain. Just her whole life has been one big suffering. And it's not because she doesn't have faith. It's not because she doesn't love God. These guys got it all wrong. Many of God's choicest saints are God's sickliest saints. Think of Paul. Paul went down the list of all the problems he had. Spurgeon died at 58, and he was overcome with sickness and pain and suffering. God's choicest saints are often His sickest saints. So we cannot believe our way into healing, but we can believe our way into heaven. Those are two completely different things. So again, the lesson, over and over in the Bible, the health of the soul is more important to God than the health of the body. Number three, and this will be the last one, God doesn't heal us by asking us for money. This just hammers that again. They will say, prosperity preachers will say, and it's funny to me, that prosperity, the only people that get prosperous from prosperity preaching is the prosperity preachers. Because they'll stand up and they'll say, in this health and wealth, prosperity preachers, they'll say, if you'll send us seed money, you'll get healed. And I've heard that so many times, seed money, seed money. And they'll get on TV and they'll hold out their hands, and it's like their hands coming through the TV. And it says, if you'll just send us this, if you'll just send us that. And they're asking for money, and I can feel the healing power going through the TV right now, you know. I hope somebody doesn't tune in right now as I'm saying that. Send me money. I'll send you healing. They turned me off right there. I might get more viewers like that. I don't know. They'll say, if you buy holy water and sprinkle it on yourself, you'll get healing. It's money. If you buy my book. I've had people say that. This is a secret to health and happiness. If you just buy my book, why don't you just tell people? There's a guy, a preacher, he said, I don't even know why I'm going into this, but one of those preachers that was here not too long ago, he got on TV, he's like, I've got the answers to the end time, when all these events are going to happen. It's laid out perfectly. God has showed it to me, and you got to buy my $50 CD set. What? Just fill in his pockets. Buy my book, get healed. Buy our holy water, get healed. Buy a prayer cloth that I've cut off my shirt. I've read a guy this week. He said, if you buy it, put it on whatever it hurts you. He's like, I've got it. It came off my shirt, you know. Just a little piece of cloth. And you buy it from me. Put it on whatever ails you, and God will heal you. They're asking for a down payment on healing, like it's going to cost you something to get healed. Not God needs your money to heal you. They get rich off sick people, and it's a damnable lie. The truth is, you read the Bible, and I read all through it this week. Jesus never once asked for money to heal anybody. The New Testament apostles never asked for a single dime from anybody to heal anybody. God doesn't ask you to pay for healing. These guys are liars. I can give you an example. Last place I'll ask you to turn. Acts chapter 8. Tell me what this sounds like. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and he bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. What does that sound like? He bewitched people with sorcery so that everybody would think he was some great one. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man has great power of God. Sounds like some people you see on TV. To whom they all, again, in verse 11, and to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. He tricked them. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, or he gave credence to. That's what that means there. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done, he kind of became a little follower along and said, oh, wow, you're doing all these miracles and all these signs. And watch what he says. Beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto him Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. And when this man Simon saw that, through the laying on the apostles' hands of the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he can receive the Holy Ghost. Give me this secret, little power. Boy, I can make some money off this. But Peter said unto him, your money will die with you. Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps thine heart might be forgiven thee. He told him how it was, didn't he? This guy trying to get the gifts to use to make money. Trying to make money off the ministry. And it's sad. You see guys just like this Simon on TV, social media, in our area, filled with Simons, selling a cure to poor, pitiful, sick people. The lesson is, don't go broke trying to get healed. Most of these men and women, faith healers, are just as sick as the sick people they're trying to get money off of. The difference is they're sick and rich while everybody else is sick and poor. So no amount of money will guarantee your healing. The only guarantee we have of healing is when we get to heaven. They say, you know, I've got 2 minutes here. One page of notes, we're good. Many people will say Isaiah 53 says, by his stripes we are healed. I hear that all the time. People post prayer requests on Facebook and they'll say, by his stripes we are healed. That verse says, yes, spiritually we are healed by his stripes because he died for our sins. Yeah. It does not guarantee health here. Not physically. The physical healing comes later. And I said only one more passage. We'll do one more and I'll close. Revelation 21. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Revelation 21, verses 4 and 5, speaks of a future time in heaven. And that is the only guarantee in the entire Bible of complete healing and happiness for God's people. The only guarantee in the entire Bible for us to be healed is when we get to heaven. That's when all limbs will be restored. That's when all sight will be restored. That's when the lame will jump and leap and walk. That's when there will be no more need of wheelchairs. That's when the paraplegic will rise and walk. That's when all the cancer will be gone. That's when there will be no more need for glasses. That's when there will be no more need for hearing aids. That's when there will be no more need for Tylenol or ibuprofen or aspirin. That's when there will be no more need for hospitals or doctors or nurses. There will be no more need for any of those things that we have in this world today, because at that point, all those things have been passed away and it's all become new. That's the only guarantee in the entire Bible that we get healing, and it's in heaven. And that physical healing is only possible by the spiritual healing offered in Jesus Christ, who is the great physician, who has the cure for everything that ails you spiritually and everything that hurts you physically, but in heaven. So the answer is, does God heal today? You better believe he does. Just not in the way a lot of these lying preachers out there say he does. That's the answer. Yes, he does. But don't you be fooled by those lying preachers trying to get something off of you. God is a healing God. And next week we'll answer the question, well, how does God heal today? You didn't answer that one, Josh. Some of y'all should have been thinking that one. Come back next week and I'll tell you how God heals today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. What it teaches us, how it outlines and makes things clear. I love the methodical approach to it. Just going Old Testament, New Testament, and how it all lines up together. And I pray that I was able to give a clear picture of this answer tonight. God, tried my best not to give opinions, but to give straight Bible. Going right to your word and seeing what it says. And I pray that this brought some clarity to our minds tonight. And God, I wonder sometimes why in your patience that you continue to let these preachers take advantage of people and lie. But God, then I sit back and say, how often you've been patient with me. So I pray for these men and even some of them are women preaching these lies. I pray that you would save them and change their hearts, and they would stop preaching that mess, and they would stick to the truth of your word. And I thank you for being the God that heals.
Yes.
And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.